Hello, and welcome back to our study through the book of Romans. We are diving into chapter 8 now, so we're reaching the halfway point in the book of Romans. I hope that you've enjoyed this study through the book of Romans so far, that God has brought out some truth that can be valuable for your life. But as we continue on here in Romans chapter 8, we've left off in Romans chapter 7, where Paul kind of comes to this conclusion of who will deliver me from this body of death. And talking about in chapter 7, this struggle between his new nature in Christ and his old nature, the flesh, warring against each other, and how he wants to do what is good, but he doesn't find himself always doing that. Well, in the beginning of Romans chapter 8, he describes here how Christ has set us free from this law of sin in death when he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." And he would go on later to describe how we no longer are living in the flesh, but we can live by the power of the Spirit of God. In verse 9, he said, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And then he would go on to say, we should live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, as we are heirs with Christ here. Verse 12, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So we can now take our rightful place in the family of God because of his Spirit, and we prove that we are children of God by living according to the power of his Spirit, not according to our flesh. But we understand, as Paul mentioned in chapter 7, it's still going to be a struggle. Things are still going to be difficult. That's why Paul begins to look to the future in Romans chapter 8. In the last part of Romans chapter 8, he starts to look towards what will happen for us in the future. We've talked about already how sin separates us from the path penalty of sin, and how we can begin to see how Jesus separates us, Jesus saves us from the present power of sin in our lives. But now Paul wants to focus upon how at one point in the future, when Jesus fully redeems us and restores us, we will be set free from the very presence of sin. This is a stage in our salvation, our sanctification, that Bible scholars refer to as glorification, that we will be glorified. And that brings us to our key verse for Romans chapter 8, which is Romans 8:18, when Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." That in the future, when we are fully with Christ in heaven, we can be removed from even the very presence of sin over our lives. And that even though we still struggle in the flesh right now, we know that we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living inside of us, who helps us in our weakness. Paul would go on to say in Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So we see that there is assistance for the believer, that where we may feel inadequate at certain points in times, we may not feel good enough as far as certain things goes, whether that be in your prayer life, in your service, in your devotion to God, we see that the Spirit of God works through us, works in us for the time being, makes intercession for us on our behalf, since we don't always even fully understand how we should live, and helps us in our time of weakness for the time being. But again, Paul makes it very clear in Romans chapter 8 that God will accomplish his purposes for us. This is what he means when he begins in verse 28 to say, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Now, this particular passage, these particular set of verses, can be highly controversial because there are different theological groups, if you will, that will debate what exactly is Paul guaranteeing that God will accomplish. What we can all agree on is that in these verses, Paul is saying that God will accomplish his purpose in us. Though different theological schools may disagree as to what that purpose is that Paul's saying he will accomplish, God will accomplish his purpose in us. And ultimately what that will result in is that glorification that I was talking about. That ultimately that results in us being completely freed not only from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but from the very presence of sin when we stand before our Savior in heaven. And Paul concludes by talking about how God is on our side and nothing is going to separate us from his love. Nothing is going to prevent God's plan for us from taking place. He says, "What then shall we say to these things?" in verse 31. "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an incredible thought that though we may struggle with our own insecurities, we may have doubts about our own ability to live for God. We may have fears of what will happen to us in this world. None of that will prevent God in his love from rescuing us from this terrible life of despair. We can trust absolutely in the power and the love of God to rescue us from this body of death, as Paul said in Romans 7, who will rescue me from this body of death? We know that Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has established his authority and his power, and his claim on us is true. By our faith in him, we receive eternal life. We receive these promises. We receive the truth and the hope that we will one day be fully restored in him. Again, we have to sit back in awe and amazement at the power of the gospel to transform everything, to remove our earthly doubts and fears, to set us free from bondage to sin. I hope and pray once again that something said would minister to your heart today, that you would take these truths and apply them to your life and share them with those that you meet, those that you know. Thank you again, and God bless.